You are about to enter the X-Files Diaries. Broadcasting from the lovely home in Falls of Arcadia. Here are special agents Charlie, Nick, and Annie.
We're back for another edition of X-Files Diaries, but unfortunately, we are minus one of our podcast members here. Charlie apparently fell ill, and he played hooky from work today, and let's see, Deadpool. So I thought since he skipped work and went to see a movie, he'd be okay by the time it was time to record the podcast, but apparently not.
Well, when your voice is gone, it's gone.
Yeah, maybe too much yelling at the theater screen. I don't know. But yeah, we recorded an episode of our Flash Diaries podcast earlier, and yeah, his voice was pretty much gone by the end, so I was like, why don't you sit this one out? But it's just me and Annie. Here to talk some X-Files for you. And all right, I did something that I normally really don't like to do. But this episode was so odd.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, you know, you sent me a link, and it got me reading, and it got me thinking, and then I happened to see some other things out there, and I couldn't help but clicking on stuff. And normally I don't like to click on other people's reviews, other people's talk of the episode until after we are done recording, so I don't like it influencing stuff I'm thinking about. The reviews won't necessarily influence me in a way that influences my thoughts on what I thought of the episode. I will say that I feel a great majority of the people, and it's possible this is Chris Carter's fault, I don't know, we'll discuss this, missed the point of the episode because something in it, namely a Muslim terrorist act, overshadowed the point of the episode.
Well, in order for me to respond to that, I need to know what you feel was the point.
Well, I feel that the Muslim terrorist attack was necessary to make the point of the episode. And although people are calling it a stereotype, it happens. It's not like it's a made up thing that Muslim terrorists exist and do these things. Mm-hmm. These acts happen. And I feel that people were so disturbed by the fact that it was portrayed so realistically and nonchalantly that they then go off and missed why it was shown. And I believe it was shown because it points to the power of words. And I think that's very, very strong. And I think it's a very strong theme throughout the entire episode. And I think it's a very good theme in the episode. I think it's very well done if you could get past the visuals that you saw.
Well, I actually agree with you on that. And I mean, that's the point I took from it. I think, at least in our modern times, I think that's kind of what they were talking about in that last scene a little bit, which we can talk about later. But that probably Muslim extremism is the most relevant example of unadulterated hatred right now that Americans at least can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And so using it kind of as an example or as a metaphor for what they were trying to say, like the point isn't, oh, terrorists are bad. Like that's not the point. I get what you're saying about that, but using it as a metaphor, I'm sure made people's, you know, hackles go up. But I think that I agree with you. I think that was actually a good usage because it's relevant right now. It's something people are afraid of.
I think sometimes people are a little too PC to acknowledge that this exists and it's it's, I mean, it's not okay that it happens, but it's okay to portray it.
Right.
And I think people were, I also think people were a little upset the way this was portrayed and then handled throughout the rest of the show.
I think the main thing people were mad about, at least I didn't read a lot of reviews, Nick. I saw a couple like headlines and I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty much what I thought. And I didn't bother reading the reviews. So I don't know the meat and bones of what people found that people didn't like about it. That wasn't the thing that I thought people were not liking. I thought people just thought it was a really poorly executed episode, which is what I thought.
There's just a lot of articles that are harping on the Muslim terrorist attack, their entire review, and basing everything else that happened on the fact that this happened, that they portrayed this Muslim terrorist attack, and everybody's saying how stereotypical that was, like it was a stereotype. And I guess that's
something that happens,
right? So I don't understand how it's necessarily a stereotypes are stereotypes only because there's an element of truth to them,
right?
I mean, or else they wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be the sense of a stereotype, because it wouldn't ring true with anyone. It wouldn't mean anything.
And depending on how you interpret it, like this terrorist individual is a little bit redeemed by the end, you know?
Right. I think he is. Because he didn't pull the trigger. Like, he didn't actually activate his vest, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And he also helped get the rest of the cell captured, mm-hmm. you know? It was his thoughts and words that told Mulder, and he helped get the rest. So, I mean, in a way, it was like, okay, and we could talk about this later, his reasons for doing so. But like, yeah. I don't look at it as, I mean, I have to admit, and when the thing started and you see a Muslim guy in his room praying, you immediately think, oh, this guy's going to be a terrorist. But they didn't really attempt to hide that, because he had a picture of Osama bin Laden on his fridge.
Yeah.
So I didn't immediately think, uh-oh, am I going down that route when I shouldn't? Like, because I was like, okay, I should be going down that route. That's what's happening. Like, I knew that right off the bat.
Right. You actually hit something on the head. I think some people are mad because they saw this image and were made to think he was a terrorist. What it ended up being, he was. I understand he didn't pull his vest. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I still think he's part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we were wrong to say he was a terrorist. Like, and I think people are upset that I also think people were upset that it didn't take a turn. But if it took a turn, like if it ended up being like he didn't go through with it or something like that, or if it wasn't what it seemed, it was exactly what it seemed to be.
And that's what my husband was saying. He said that the second the cold open was over, he was like, oh, well, it's not obviously not going to be that. There's some X-File thing going on, you know?
Right,
and that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, okay, cool. There's something X-File going on. It's not going to be exactly what we think it is. And then it just turns out to be exactly what you think it is, which isn't what you expect to get out of an X-Files episode.
Right. But it had to be what we expected it to be, because that's what this episode was about. And you need to get past that. Mm-hmm. And we will. We'll get past this eventually here in this podcast. But
but it needs to be discussed.
I think so, too. And so I think people need to get past the fact that it was exactly what it looked like. And it's okay that there was no twist, because it is set up with the tone and the meaning of this episode, and you need to get past that to get the meaning of this episode.
Right.
And it's interesting that we agree on this first part, because you said we wouldn't agree on much in this episode. So maybe coming.
I mean, so. The only thing I'm going to disagree with you on is that I didn't like the episode. I didn't think it was a good episode. I didn't really enjoy it. Mm. I definitely thought that there were really good messages and themes that they were trying to get across, and I do think that they accomplished that, kind of. I just wasn't a fan of the execution of this episode. I thought it was just, I don't know, we could go on and on. I didn't think it was very well written. I thought the pace was weird. I thought the tone was all over the map. It was just, it didn't feel like a cohesive piece of work to me.
Yeah, I liked it, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I will say, first of all, I applaud Chris Carter for going this direction, for writing this and just being strong with it, knowing that there would be probably some backlash about it, and there definitely
was. I think they had to. I almost think they had to go here at some point, because this is something that is very, very... It's on people's minds right now, especially when you start talking about X-Files and paranoia and people being afraid, like fearful. This is probably one of the main things on a lot of people's mind. And so I feel like, in a way, I wish it had been more of an X-File, but like, I guess it's good that they actually dealt with it in a way.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like... they set it up in the beginning, in the first episode of this season, that the real threat is man. That's what, you know, that's where the paranoia right. should be. And honestly, this episode kind of did that a little bit. I also think the broken up tone, it didn't, this whole episode was kind of choppy. The pacing was weird. It made you feel uncomfortable. You never got settled in.
Yeah.
But I think that was the point. And I actually really like that. After
See,
I got
I
to
don't
the end,
think that was the point, and I think that was Chris Carter dropping the ball.
Really, but, you don't think you were meant to be unsettled through this whole thing, and just and kind of come across? I don't know. I felt like we never needed to settle into any kind of pace, because then we'd get kind of lulled into a pattern.
I think you do when you're dealing with something like this that's of a serious nature. And you're not going to go somewhere wacky like, oh, it's really an alien that made him do it or something. You know, you're not going to take that direction. You need to keep the tone as serious as it should be, as it warrants. And I don't think they did that. Like, I think he was just kind of saying, look, hey, this is funny. Oh, look at this. This is cool. Oh, my gosh. Look at this weird dream sequence. Like, it just felt, I don't know, it felt out of place in this episode.
Yeah. Well, let's move past this. We got to past the opening scene, and now we're with Molly, Scully and Mulder in the office, and we're seeing the story about the trumpets that people are hearing.
Right.
Very, very interesting. Kind of meaning here, kind of imagery that people are hearing this. It was interesting that, like, it seemed like everybody in the area was hearing it. It wasn't like select people.
Right.
It wasn't some weird, thing where only a couple people heard it or anything. It was something, but it was also seemed localized. Did you think that, like, it wasn't something that was heard around the world? Did you feel it was localized?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought it did kind of fit in with the idea of Babylon, and that was only a certain area of the world that happened. The Tower of Babel and all that.
Now, did they say where the video was from? Because I didn't catch that.
Like, I don't think they did. Maybe they did, and I just missed it. I watched it twice.
Even on my second watch, I didn't catch anything.
And, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter, but...
Well, it doesn't until we get to the end and we hear another trumpet. And I'm just wondering if it was in the same place.
Oh, yeah, because Mulder hears it. Or I don't think Scully hears it. I think Scully hears it.
I kept rewinding that and watching. She kind of gives a notion, but
she kind of goes, what? Like, I couldn't tell. I mean, open to interpretation, but I got the feeling that it was just Mulder. But what I liked about this opening scene was their discussion about God, because I don't think they've ever been so frank with each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they have, but it was just kind of almost in a jokey way. She's like, oh, you didn't, I didn't. Since when do you believe in God? He's like, I don't. He's like, it's your book. Like, I just thought it was pretty funny the way they were so open with each other about that, you know?
Yeah.
It was a very open, honest, refreshing conversation between two people that disagree, and then they move on.
Yeah, and it was definitely, it was interesting that it came up, because you would have thought, obviously they were together for a period of time that we weren't with them off screen, you would think that because we kind of know Scully's beliefs that it would have came up.
I'm certain it has.
And that's why this conversation was so short then.
Oh, maybe. You're right. It's not like, maybe at some point they had a drop down drag out. Maybe they did. I don't know. But it was just a nice comfortable conversation between two friends that disagree, which
do you think that was ever like this really doesn't pertain to this episode, but I wonder if that was ever that would have ever
been an issue
for
no because I when I, it never was before they were a couple, so I don't know why it would after. I mean, she's always known how he feels and he's always known how she felt,
and they didn't care.
And I think even she, I think both of them, I mean, I know at the end of the actual season 9 finale they kind of came to an understanding on that, but I think both of them still are not completely 100% settled on where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good place to be, because no one can be certain.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. So Trump, it's very important to, I think, the tone of this episode and where it kind of went, what it was speaking to. The 7 trumpets are supposed to kind of cue the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Supposed to occur one at a time. The interesting thing about the trumpets, though, that, and I'm going to give this background. All right. I mean, I'm not going to go too far into my personal beliefs. But I do to understand why I know some of this stuff. I work in radio, and I actually work at a Christian broadcasting company, and I hear many, many religious shows. And I remember many, many programs about the 7 trumpets.
Oh yeah,
They're very important.
They're very important to like evangelical Christians.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a point of contention on the trumpets, and I think the idea of time and God is very interesting, because even though the 7 trumpets to God could appear in quick succession, to us they could be decades, years, hundreds, mm-hmm. centuries, millennia apart. And right. Some people believe that there's many different beliefs that the trumpets, some of them already sounded. Like some people believe we're well into the, you know, we've already heard like the 5th or 6th trumpet.
People, you know, take what is written in the book and mold it to what is happening or what could be possible.
You look at events, some people think world wars were trumpets or explosions, like I heard like maybe Chernobyl might have been one of the trumpets, mm-hmm. things like that. So it's also interesting to know where we, in this context, we might stand with the trumpet we heard, and what it might have been and what it means to people. But obviously, people are influenced. I think what the cool thing about this is people are influenced by their beliefs, their faith, what they've been told. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the power of words. So when people hear something like this and they're religious, they think that it's one of the trumpets. So I think that's kind of an interesting way to set this up as well. So we don't really know, you know, exactly what this sound may be, but a lot of people are interpreting it to be religious.
Yes. Miller and Einstein?
Yeah, Miller and Einstein. What do you think of them?
I don't know. They were fine. I don't think that I would watch them on a show.
Probably not.
I didn't find them very... I mean, for one episode, great. I didn't find them especially engaging. You know?
Yeah.
They just seemed like... They honestly just seemed like Mulder and Scully 2.0, which I think was the point. So...
Well, they also seemed, and I think this follows the theme, I felt like they were stereotypical Mulder and Scully. They were
like bad blood versions.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I think they were Mulder and Scully to a little bit of extreme. Miller seemed very anxious, even more anxious than I really ever remember Mulder, where he was seemingly a little bit more laid back, right?
I don't know.
Miller was like, ooh, 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 ooh.
And Einstein was certainly more bitchy than Scully has ever been.
Well, yeah. I think they worked well together. And you're right. They weren't compelling enough to say, ooh, I'd like to see an offshoot with them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I never saw them again, I'd be fine.
It wasn't like
I want it. You know, here's a good example. When I'm watching the new Star Wars movie, I'm watching Rey and I want to see more Rey. You know, I'm watching Poe and I want to see more Poe. Whereas these two, I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't have to see them again. They're good. Give me Mulder and Scully back. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. If they're trying to set up like the new generation, I don't know how well, but I guess looks like they're going to be in next week's too. So we'll see.
They are. You know, I liked what they represented here, because it didn't, it allowed us not to have Scully have to say no to Mulder and be right. Mulder's opposite. So it gave us, like, instead of seeing the same old thing again, it gave us another person to do that to. See, what did you think at the beginning? See, it seemed like, and maybe I missed it, maybe this was the point. I at first thought that Mulder and Scully conspired to each call the other person and have them come in, knowing that this would be the way to solve whatever they wanted to solve.
I don't know. I think Scully was kind of... this is how I feel. I feel Mulder certainly didn't want Scully to know that what he was doing for the exact reasons that he said. And I don't think Scully wanted to... I don't think she really wanted Mulder to know what she was doing, because maybe she was a little bit embarrassed, but she secretly needed to try it, like, it, for her own personal reasons. And, like, even some of the scenes she had with Miller, I liked their interaction a lot. Like, a couple of those scenes where she kind of looked at him kind of like, yeah, I want to believe that you believe. Or I don't remember what she said, but it was just, she was like, you're adorable. You're like a little mini Mulder, you know, like it was kind of like, I can start fresh with you and I don't need to worry about any of the history.
The baggage,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Everything that comes with it.
So I don't think that they knew that each other was calling.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. And that's what I kind of gathered as the episode went on. When it first happened, when they started to each, you know, when Mulder called Einstein and vice versa, I thought that was like, I thought they conspired to do it. And this was like a weird.
It kind of came across that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they did. Real quick, I want to say before I forget, did you notice that looked like Scully was calling him from like a hotel room?
You know,
I didn't
necessarily notice it being a hotel room. It did look like an odd place she was in.
Yeah, like I thought either she's moved into some apartment because she moved out from Mulder's house, obviously.
Right.
She's just been in a hotel this whole time, which is perfectly possible, you know?
Weird, but yeah.
But I was like, then I'm like, oh, but where's Dagu? She can't have a Dagu in a hotel room. So I was kind of confused by that. So I don't know if anyone has any theories on that, let us know.
Interesting. That's funny that, like, I hate to say, like, the weird scapegoat, like you're reading too much into that, but yeah, because they just needed a place for her to call that wasn't the office. And but
yeah,
right.
But she could have been calling him from the hallway of the hotel, of the FBI.
Yeah,
she could have been calling him from outside. You know, there are a million places she could have been calling him from. I just thought it was so weird. What a weird location choice. It looked like she was sitting in a hotel room, unless she was like already in Texas, but that didn't make sense because she was at the airport and he picked her up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird to me.
So, all right. So then they go start investigating the cases separately. What would you want to start with Mulder and Einstein?
Yeah, because I have a lot to say about
this.
All
right. We'll go down.
It's one of my main beefs of the episode, but go ahead. You start.
Well, it is weird. Does it seem out of the blue? So right from the start, Mulder wants to experiment with these mushrooms, right? To talk to the terrorists. Like, that's his...
You know, I can't. I don't even... This makes no sense. This whole plan, nothing about this plan makes sense. And I get, yeah, it's Mulder, but it's like... It's so dumb to me that he... Like, this plan is so misguided. Okay, first of all, he can't speak Arabic, like, as we find out later. Well, he said something to me, but I don't know what it is because I don't speak Arabic. Dum-dum-dum. What did you think he was going to say? And then also that he was able to actually understand it and figure it out and save the day still with this stupid, dumb plan that should never have worked pissed me off. Like, I was really mad because I'm like, you know, Mulder always gets to be right. And it's most of the time, I think it's adorable and fitting. But this time I'm just like, your whole plan is so stupid. Like, how are you supposed to communicate with this guy if you're high? Like, how does that change anything? Like, I don't know. What is he saying? Is he joining that plane that this guy is supposed to be on?
Yeah, I think it's more than just getting high. It's a more mystical thing than that. So it's these specific hallucinogens that, yes, put you on the same plane as the person that's semi-conscious or whatever. Yes. That's the idea behind it. It feels like, to me, it felt like I was okay with it, but I guess maybe I gave him a pass on it. I just felt like something he's always read about and wanted to do, and now here's the case where he can do it, but he knows it's not something Scully would ever let him do.
Right.
So he...
Okay, I guess when you say that, when you say it that way, it kind of sounds a little bit better, but...
I could totally see this something Mulder always read about and knew about and had, and he was like, maybe this is the time to do it.
Let's talk about the fact that he didn't even get the mushrooms and was still able to do it.
Do you think he definitely didn't? Like, is that definite?
I don't know if it's definite, but I really...
I feel like she was just saving her butt by telling the authorities that I didn't give him the real stuff, but she really did, because I feel if she's really like Scully, she's also curious, I think, to a degree, and would want and was interested in letting... Part of her was interested in letting Mulder do his thing and seeing what came of it. So I honestly feel like he did not get the placebo. I felt like he honestly got the real thing. If not, I could semi explain it by the whole power of suggestion thing. That's the premise of this show, but I don't really like that explanation.
Well, I get to what you're saying, that it's... I like the idea of the power of suggestion is that powerful, because that's the whole point of the episode.
It's
so,
a
I mean,
little
yeah,
too in that case.
It makes sense, but it's at the same time, I'm like, okay, no, that whole scene looked like a drug trip.
Right.
Like, it wasn't even... And I mean, I've heard of people having placebo experiences.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a thing, you know what I mean? Like, I think
right. You
can think that you're drunk or think that you're high and have these very real experiences. So it's not like it's... I guess it's not that it's impossible, but I mean, taking that to the next level, that not only is he faking experiencing this, he actually does get to talk to the terrorist.
Right.
It's like, it's a step too far. And you could be right that maybe she did really give him the drugs, but I think, I don't know, I don't think she did. I think they would have found it in his system. You know, Skinner would have known about it because the doctors would have found it in his system, and they probably didn't find anything in his system because he was in the hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that We are meant to believe that they were truly placebos, and it was just the power of suggestion.
All right, that makes me like it a little less.
Right. That's that's why the whole thing just kind of bugged me. I don't know.
All right. Well, taking the hallucination as a standalone thing.
Oh, you didn't talk about that.
Not worrying about anything else that happened in the episode. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the imagery and the fun of it?
Well, like I said earlier, it was hard to, in the context of this episode, like if something like that was happening, like say during Weremonster, then I would have gone along for the ride a bit more, you know, not that I did. And I also think it was way too long. Like, I think that trip sequence could have been half the length and it would have been just as fine, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, not that I don't enjoy watching Mulder doing the electric slide, which was very hilarious, but like, and the whole lone gunman thing, which was kind of a cop out. I know that pissed a lot of people off.
That was their appearance.
That was it. Yeah. But I actually was expecting something like that. I expected a brief cameo or flashback. Like I was like, okay, they're already bringing back Smoking Man and have to explain that away. So they're not going to bring them back too. Like, that's not happening. But I didn't even see Byers, by the way. Where was he?
I saw
Langley and Frohickey and Skinner.
You're right. Yeah.
I didn't see Byers at all. And I know he was there. He had to be there.
Had to be somewhere there.
So I was just like, okay, well, that was a bit of a fail. Like, at least let me see all three of them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I forgot to actually watch it more closely a second time, but you're right. I only saw two my first watch.
I watched it closely the second time and I did not see him. Like, I was even looking for like a quick shot of him.
Yeah.
It was Skinner was on the left, and then Langley and Frohickey were on the right, and no Byers.
I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed this trip. I thought, taking it, like breaking down the wall here, I thought David did an amazing job.
Well, like, he was great. He was great.
So it was entertaining, you know, and that's part of it. Like, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch him go on this trip, and it was just fun to take the journey with him. And I thought it was incredible. I really did. It was a fun couple of minutes. And to me, it didn't drag on. It was, I didn't say, ooh, more, but I mean, I'd never thought about the time while I was watching it. It just happened, and I had a good ride. I was laughing. I was having fun, and it was a great time.
I think I was just kind of like uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. And that's funny because you're on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. So I couldn't wait for you to watch this episode because I so thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was like, it blew my mind. And I was like texting you like, are you done yet? Are you watching? Hurry up.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't done that the entire run.
No.
You haven't.
I was just, this episode just struck me. I loved it. It made me think, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I didn't put too much thought into it, and I don't know how much the hallucination in, like, altogether, like, played into the theme of the episode, and that may be a problem, right? Until the end, it was a journey. It was like kind of a side trip. It was a little road trip in the middle of this heavy episode, right?
To make you believe like this is what Mulder would trip about or what would happen, you know?
So what does that mean? He really wants to go line dancing and let it out? I mean,
I think that was all like quote unquote real. Like he actually went to the bar and he was line dancing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it turned into like the Lone Gunman thing and the Skinner thing. And at that point, he started to kind of bring up memories, you know? And then it kind of turned dark, and then really, you know, that's dark. When you know the trip goes bad.
So what do you think? So is that some kind of imagery? I'm sure it means something. What does being on this boat mean? Was it the journey to the afterworld?
Yeah, it looked to me like kind of like an underworld boat, or even like a medieval, like the whipping and the slaves, and you know, I get we could go on and on about the symbolism of what the actual dream sequence meant, but that was a part where it felt really, really odd. Maybe just again with the tone and again with the, whoa, now there's Smoky Man in this episode. Like what? Like it was just kind of jarring, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it. It was just in there to be like, oh, this is Mulder's thing. And then his whole like getting whipped on the table by Einstein.
That part was really weird. Is that a hidden desire type thing?
Maybe. I thought it was pretty funny how he was saying woo-woo.
Woo.
She was whipping him for the woo-woo. I think that scene would have been better if it was Scully.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it would have made more sense.
Maybe he thought that Scully would never go along with that. So in his mind, he had to make the other girl that's kind of like Scully do it instead.
Yeah, but it's a trip. You can do whatever you want.
I suppose.
It's a dream sequence. But again, it was another sort of interesting idea that Scully was not present in this vision at all, just like in the other visions in episode 2 with William. It's like she's just kind of absent. And this is the second time we've seen her be absent, which is a little weird to me.
Hmm.
Like everyone else, like literally everyone else in his life was in it. Smoking Man. But she was not. So I thought that was a little strange.
Well, I'll throw this out there. Maybe she's the one anchor to reality, the one serious thing in his life, the one. And so she is not present in these things because she is real. If she was put into these things, that would make her fake.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So he ends up at the end of this long trip talking to the terrorists, getting out some words, and luckily Robbie Amell's there, Mr. Miller, otherwise known as Miller. See, that's what I was really disappointed about with this guy, and I think I just for whatever reason I like the actor, and I enjoy him in other things, and so maybe I'm liking him too much here. I don't know.
But, Shiraz?
No, Robbie Amell, the Miller, oh, the oh. other the
I
other
just remembered
agent.
That the guy's name was Shiraz, because that's a type of wine. That's all I remember. No, okay, Robbie Amell, I know who you're talking about.
Right, so Miller, and so he was...
He was very cute, he was quite a gentleman. He helped Scully with her luggage.
And he helped the translation, yeah. He was good. I really enjoyed him at the end, which we'll get to, but let's take Scully's journey here now.
Yeah.
So you seem to have more to say about this journey. You seem to like this one a little bit better, and I was kind of bored by this storyline.
Well, it's not that I liked it better, because I thought the whole episode was kind of eh, but I'm just saying they had a couple moments I thought were nice. Like, I liked the way the two of them worked together better than the other two, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They definitely meshed.
They both seemed like professional, and they just were trying to get the job done. Whereas, like, I don't know, Mulder and Einstein just felt to me very snippy and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really like Einstein's character. I think she came off like kind of young, like too young. You know?
Yeah, I will say that I didn't necessarily like the way Einstein was portrayed here. It was a little unwieldy to me. It was my least favorite character.
I think that's a Carter thing.
Of this episode. I like the way Miller's character was portrayed, though.
Yeah, he was portrayed well. I mean, of the two of them, I would definitely rather hang out with that guy.
And he was definitely on point. I mean, he was alert. He was aware of what was going on, even though he was kind of in this land where he was looking for these mystical explanations for things or other, you know, he's looking for these ways to solve this case that weren't necessarily by the book. And then that was cool.
He was like what Mulder probably was like before he found the X-Files.
Right. But he was
I liked.
Yeah. But he was also on point. Like, I mean, these guys, he kind of read the character of these guys that were coming into the to the hospital room that were going to do him harm. And I guess that they turned out to be like fake agents, right? That were actually Muslims that were trying to kill this guy.
That was all very weird. I don't know. There were a lot of weird. Again, the whole thing just felt so disjointed. I was like, okay, we're supposed to care about that. Okay, I guess that's over. I guess we don't need to care about that anymore. Then the nurse starts to like kill the guy and then show that, you know, she's just one of these crazies that is, you know, xenophobic and hateful. And I liked that they slipped that in, because it was a nice thing that was just shows that, like, wow, this really, really intense hatred can just come out of nowhere, come from a completely unexpected place. I liked that that was there. Mm-hmm. But again, it was like, okay, and then we never saw her again, and it wasn't even a thing.
Well, see, my problem is that's another stereotype. But yeah, I could not find her talked about in any of the reviews
It is a stereotype, but you know why? Because so many real people are like that.
But so many people are like this person who blew up the building, too.
Right, but not people that we know.
Well.
Like, I know people like Xenophobic Nurse. Like, there are people in my real life that I know like that. You know?
Okay.
And it's a far more common thing.
I think.
And it's also not an. I mean, I don't find it an. I don't find that an offensive stereotype.
Well,
either.
Okay.
Because I think people who are that hateful and just completely misguided should be called out.
But isn't that just as bad as the Muslim terrorist?
Just as bad in what way?
Well, why are you?
To portray them? Hey, you know what? You're asking the wrong person, because I don't think it's bad that they portrayed a Muslim terrorist.
No, I understand that. But okay. I got you there.
You're saying the people who were reviewing this, why didn't they have a problem with both?
I think people in general are more comfortable with the stereotype of her, because it's more politically correct. It's more politically correct to be okay with the stereotype of I can't even think of his name. The guy in the conspiracy theorist in the first episode. What? Give me his name.
Oh, Tad O'Malley.
Tad O'Malley. It's more comfortable to be okay with a stereotype like that than a Muslim terrorist. You're more comfortable with that, and you're more comfortable with the rowdy Texans that pull up next to the Muslim and start yelling at the guy, and you're okay with that stereotype.
But I don't.
Not think, you. Okay. I'm okay. People okay. in general.
You know, this is all. Fair enough. I get what you're saying. I'm not, though, personally don't have a problem with any kind of stereotypes like that, because this is entertainment, and it's people are allowed to do what they want. It's art. So I don't have a problem with that, which again is another point of the episode. That's people got blown up for doing art.
And
so.
It was great. You know, it was very entertaining to see the nurse. Like I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed enjoyed the Texans that pulled up next to the Muslim. I enjoyed all of it because it was entertaining. It was interesting to watch. And well, it was, and you're right. Real. We do know people like yeah. those.
That's why I guess I don't have a problem with it, because like you said, most stereotypes are have come from a bit of truth. And yeah. I think that's the case with all the stereotypes they used in this episode.
But yeah. The seeing the nurse slip out, seeing all that happen. I mean, I thought, I again thought that was just, it was also showing that backing up, you said that, I guess you said it comes from a place, and I thought everything had a purpose. I think the nurse flipping out had a purpose because it also showed that, like the Muslim terrorist, she was also raised with a power of suggestion from her beliefs.
Yes.
And you're right about very, that. Very, very strong.
And I did say that. I said that I liked that they put that in there because it was another example of that.
Yeah.
So, but it just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of came and went, which was weird to me just as a function of the story.
Right.
It was a little odd. But I think it's important to point out that our hatred, and when I say our, I mean like Americans on this side, can be just as strong
right.
as theirs. Your hatred can be as strong without a bomb.
Yes.
And in the same way, her hatred was just as strong because she was trying to kill the guy.
Well, yeah. And also, I think, and maybe this may be overthinking it, but I mean, words can be as powerful as a bomb because they can move people to do.
The thing about this episode I really liked. I know we'll get there, but.
Well, I think you didn't necessarily need to care about any individual thing in the episode. Like the mom at the end. That should have been a very emotional scene. But I feel like that was one of those things that in any other episode, like that would have been an emotional high point in the episode. It was kind of brushed over. Now you connected with
it. Yeah, I agree with that. I did connect with it, but I do agree it was brushed over. I think, you know, maybe we could have taken 30 seconds out of Mulder's line dancing and then added it to that scene or something, you know? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it was just... I mean, I found the idea of that very moving, even that the mother's words, when you think about it, her words to her son are what made him finally like cross over.
Yeah.
So again, with the words and with the power of them. And,
wow. Yeah.
Ooh, I thought that
that's good.
Yeah. I thought that there were things about this episode that they did well. I didn't, you know, hate it. You know, I also wonder how differently I would feel about this if this were a season with 18 episodes or 22 episodes, and this was one of them, whereas this is the last episode before the finale, and I'm sitting here just going, really? Really? Like, we're wasting time with this? Like, that's all I'm thinking as I'm watching this, you know?
Well,
and I know that's not fair. It's probably not fair, but that's just the way I felt.
Well, I don't want to get ahead if we're not ready, but are you ready to go to kind of the last few scenes?
Well, let's wait for a minute. I wanted to ask you a question first.
Yeah.
What do you think were the terrorists' motivations for helping Mulder? Do you think that he regretted what he did? Do you think that his mother spoke to him? Do you think that he realized he didn't get 72 virgins after all?
You're talking the specific terrorist that was in the hospital room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His motivation for telling Mulder how to find the rest of the terrorist cell. Because he did.
Right. I will say that I think he kind of came around a little bit in the end. He wasn't fully into what he must not have fully been into what he was doing. I mean, it's a weird subject because I mean, I can't imagine being put in these positions. I can't imagine what the life is really like, what these people, what the terrorists are indoctrinated with that makes them do these things. But I do know that I wish I could remember the exactities of this, but there's something like, that allows them not to go back because so many of them want to not go through with it once they get to that point. Like there are plenty.
Well, humanity.
Right. Well, I mean, there are plenty of terrorists that go full fledged into it, that hijack the plane
obviously.
And kill people. But
yeah.
there are some, and I think that I've read somewhere like that there are like these weird safeguards on some of these like suicide vests that are built that like don't allow you to get out of it once you're so far in or something like that. Like, cause so many people do want to back out. Or maybe I'm thinking like, that's why they send in multiples. Cause they know one of them might back out or something like something. There's something to it. But I remember reading articles on, there are a lot of suicide bombers that regret it at the last second. And you could tell like there's signs that some of them like this one. So this is a real story. I mean, this happens. They do change their mind at the last second because they realize, what am I doing? Why am I killing these people in the name of my God? And is this true? Is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? So there is that doubt. So I do think he just wasn't fully into what he was doing. He was doing it because the words told him he was supposed to be doing this for a reason, but. Yeah, I think,
and he had the rare opportunity to make it right because he was stuck between these two worlds.
He did, and that's an interesting way of putting it. I mean, and that goes to the boat that seemingly was taking him to the afterlife. He was almost there. Mulder caught him before he got there. I think
that's actually a really good point. I didn't think about that either.
I love the symbolism of that.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. But yeah, back to the thing about words having weight and power. Like by the end of this episode, I mean, and I think I already believed that. But by the end of this episode, like I was convinced. Like they did a really good job of making me feel what they were saying and understand what they were trying to do. Like even though through this entire podcast, we just keep. I mean, I did say his name was Shiraz because I remember that because of the wine. But we keep referring to him as the terrorist. That's words having power. Mm-hmm. That's how we have reduced him as a person to this word terrorist when there's obviously a whole lot more to this guy that we don't know, you know?
I think there's power to words. I think there's power to thought that is somewhat tangible. I really do.
Well, and this relates to last week's episode, how your thoughts can put thing out into the world.
Well, yeah. I think there's a lot to it. I mean, we could throw it into any part of society. I think bullying is one thing. I mean, words have an impact to people. They are very moving. I personally do subscribe to power of positive thought that can. I don't know. I really don't know what's out there and what we can do. But there's a lot of stuff that I kind of believe in a certain way, or I want to believe. It's weird. Like I hear about these ideas of positive thought that can actually, you know, if you manifest it in your thoughts, you're more likely for it to come true.
Mm-hmm.
In life.
I think the same is true for negative thought.
True.
Well, I mean, and we see that every day. I mean, I think it's just so prevalent around us all the time. It's like I see it everywhere. Like in a lot of it stems from religion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it. And I think that's what they're trying to say with this is like, you know, take the people who are, you know, just as an example, take people who are anti-gay. Okay. They dedicate so much of their life to hate this group of people, and they will insist that they don't hate them. We just want to take away all their civil rights and make them feel like less than people. Mm-hmm. Great. We don't hate them though. But all because of like one passage in a book.
Right.
From thousands of years ago.
It really comes down to that.
That's it. That's the only reason. And their thoughts and feelings and hatred are making real consequences in the world.
Yeah.
Just because of that. And it's things like that that make me really think how powerful words are.
I also kind of believe in the power of collective thought. I don't know if you ever like looked into this or thought about it. It's almost like, it almost feels like the Force from Star Wars where there is this kind of energy that moves and binds us all. And there has been it's weird. People supposedly it's measurable. There are things that people can measure, like say on 9/11 when everybody is thinking of basically the same thing. It can be measurable in some way. When everybody's watching the same television program or something like that, when everybody's united around something and there's so many people in the world thinking of the same thing. There is a power to that, I believe. I really do.
I think about that a lot when I'm like on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
As weird as that sounds. Like, I'll go on Twitter and I'll be like, wow, this is so, like, millions of people are talking about this thing right now. Yeah. Like, all at the same time. Like, that's kind of, sometimes I'll just think that and I'll be like, that's crazy to think. You know,
there's something out there. I mean, even as basic as a song pops into your head, then you turn on the radio and it's the one playing. Like, mm-hmm. How often does that happen? It happens pretty often.
It happens.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it's nuts. So anyway, I definitely believe in that stuff.
One more thing before we go to the final scene.
Yeah.
The fact that he's dying. Did you think it was weird that Scully and the other doctor just standing around doing nothing? I mean, I'm assuming that the guy maybe had a DNR or there's some sort of law that they can't interfere because she's not his dog. I don't know. But like, she didn't make any attempt to like resuscitate him or bring him back to life. And I'm not a medical person. I don't know if there was anything she could do. Maybe there was nothing she could do. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was odd that she's just like, we're losing him. He's dead. Like not doing anything. Did you think that was odd?
No, it didn't strike me as odd. Okay. But
Now that I say it, does it strike you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess to a point you would have thought maybe she, I guess I would need to rewatch it, but you're right.
Well,
there was no real reaction.
Keeping him alive was very paramount to their mission. I mean, and at that point, she didn't know that he had spoken to Mulder, you know? So you would think that she would try to keep him alive so they could keep doing what they were doing, which seemed to be working, you know?
Right.
So it was just odd to me that she was just standing there and letting it happen.
No, that's a good point.
But, you know, whatever. What are you going to do? All right. That last scene.
Well, I want to start with, I guess, the Lumiere's song playing in the background. And I thought that was a good...
The Lumiere's.
That was the song that played, yeah.
And
when...
That is a very... I actually looked up the lyrics because I'm weird like that. It's a really perfect Mulder and Scully song.
It is. It's very perfect. I love that song. I just love the sound. Like, the lyrics are good, but I mean, just like, it's a nice sounding song. I really enjoy that song. And it was perfect. Like, it was good to see. I guess, actually, wasn't the airport scene right before this? Because I did want to mention that. That was before Mulder, huh? Yeah.
Wait, okay. Which scene?
With Miller and Einstein at the airport.
Oh, yeah, talk about
actually.
That first.
Yeah, Miller was listening to a song in his headphones. I don't know. I just thought that was a really poignant scene. You had partners for the FBI. And, mm-hmm. and they finally kind of came together and understood each other, I think, a little better at this point through, I think, Mulder and Scully. I think Mulder and Scully helped Miller and Einstein to understand each other. And
But again, I just feel like it was rehash of what we see happen with Mulder and Scully after every episode.
Yeah, but I
right? I mean, come on, right?
I guess, but I didn't mind seeing it.
I'm not saying I minded seeing it. It's just one of those things that I'm sure if Charlie were here, he would be bitching about.
Probably so. I really like the scene. I liked how solemn Miller was. Because I think he accomplished what he set out to do. Mm-hmm. Like, the mission was accomplished. But
he was vindicated.
Right, but not necessarily even in a satisfying way to him, though.
No, because the whole thing is tragic. I mean...
Yeah.
Yes, they helped get these terrorists and they saved a lot of potential lives, so that's good. But, I mean, it still is, you know, it's a tragic thing and it's also on to the next.
Yeah.
You know, their job's never done. So,
but then I also think Einstein learned to calm down a little bit, chill a little bit maybe.
And open her mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Which we knew would happen from day one. Like, the second she walked into that basement, I'm like, oh, her mind will be open by the end of this episode.
Right.
Like, that's like, you know, that's going to happen.
I understand, but for some reason, I liked that scene. I don't know. It was the it was the imagery, it was the way it was done. I just enjoyed that scene. So it was good. It was good. And I like the kind of parallel to him listening to music, then taking off his headphones and
Mulder putting his on.
Exactly. Then you have Mulder with the Lumiere song, and it was just visually everything from I think the airport on, but especially the porch scene on, was just gorgeous.
Well, I have to say, even though there were a couple lines in this last scene that I didn't like, that Chris Carter made up for the porch scene in the first episode.
Okay, yeah.
He made up for that. This one was much better.
So yeah, the Lumiere song, I think it was not only, it was just a very, I feel like the mood, like the sound of the song fit, hey, I'm on the front porch and we're kind of just chilling.
Totally. Right. Yeah. It made me want to like go have a glass of wine on the porch with them.
Totally. I love how you're just chilling on the porch, listening to music. And so, let's see. I've been trying to do it right. Living a lonely life.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of poignant there. Mulder. Then you get down to, let's see. Show me family, all the blood that I would bleed. Kind of the family thing, right? Blood, family, together. And I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. I mean, you're right. It is all them.
Yeah.
And then I
and
belong with you.
Of course I belong with you. You belong with me. Of course.
That was so perfect. Scully pulls up. And this was one of my, I don't know, this was one of my favorite X-Files scenes, like, in memory. I think this would go up there.
This one was really, in terms of like Mulder Scully scenes, I thought it was great because I think, well, first of all, we should say that this leads me into my shippy moment of the week. Because of course it is, right? Of course. All I'm going to say is the hand holding. Just the hand holding. Because it was so comfortable. It was just like, let's just, you know, hey, walk with me. Let's just do this. This is something we've done a million times, you know? But it was like we've never seen it, you know, and so it was again one of those things that they did so well, I think, in the original run, where they would show you something that was shocking to us or was like, what? But they play it off so well as if it's just something that they are comfortable doing, and that's something that's just them. And I thought they yet again pulled that off with just the hand holding. So well done, Carter. I'll give you that.
The way they looked at each other and everything, it was just...
And I have to give it to, you know, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, too, because, of course, they're just magical.
They are. Yeah. I'm not going to say, like, I hate to feel that this last scene made me like the entire episode, but it helped. And I understand
it doesn't...
It
together.
I understand it doesn't redeem it for you, necessarily.
Well, no, because I feel like I could have gotten everything I needed from the episode out of this scene. Like, everything before this seemed superfluous to me.
I've thought about that. Because when I watched this a second time, and I really thought about what was I going to say here? What was I going to talk about? And it does kind of boil down to everything in the last scene, but I feel like you need it set up before that. I do. I feel like, especially with the trumpets.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially with the, it needed to hammer into you. And maybe it needed to do it in such a shocking and blatant way. It needed to hammer into you the idea of the power of words, the power of belief, the power of faith. These two people have faith and belief in different things, different ways. They've come about this in different ways. With Scully, it's been, you know, along the lines of religion, and with Mulder, he had this crusade to believe in what he was going after.
Mm-hmm.
But in both ways, it was a strong belief that influenced everything in their lives. It was very powerful and very poignant. And I think that parallel is drawn along the lines of all the people we met in this episode, the terrorists, the Southerners, you know, the Texans who hate the terrorists, the nurse who thinks that, you know, they're taking their jobs and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was parallel to all these people we met, in even the other FBI agents.
Yeah.
So I think it was important, and maybe it was overdone, but it was setting up this last scene. I don't think this last scene would have been as good. I mean, I don't know what they could have done in the episode. There's a million different ways they could have shown us these things, but this is the way they chose to show us these things. I was very entertained by the episode, and I enjoyed the imagery that it presented to me.
Right.
And it got me here.
Well, and I think you are right that it helps set the stage for what you do see, and gives, and you know, you'll never know what kind of weight that scene would have if something else had played before it. You know, there's just no way to know. But like, it's just all the important stuff, I feel like they talk about right there.
I
like it better.
Yeah. And I would say that, and maybe this was something we would have been able to say before this scene. I guess it would be, but they are not only not as good alone as they are together, but they know this too.
Mm-hmm.
They know they need the other opposite. And as good as Miller and Einstein were, they're not Mulder and Scully. So
right.
Einstein can work with Mulder, Miller could work with Scully, and things could work out, but they're not Mulder and Scully. They're not the person they need. Like,
They realized that at the end, and I like that.
Right.
It was a little bit of a journey for them.
It was. We get to the trumpet. Well, actually, just before the trumpet. The mother thing, actually.
Yeah.
I think that obviously that's very important.
Again, they can't get away from this theme.
Of
mothers and children. And I think after we're done talking about this episode, we can speculate about next week, right? We're going to get there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we can. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Well, all right. So basically, talking about mothers, and Scully says something along the lines of she refuses to believe that mothers are just, there to kind of give birth to martyrs, right?
Right.
Basically.
Right. Well, and I mean, and that made it clear when at least the mother in this story that we saw.
Right. Well, it paralleled what she thought, right? What she was going through?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think then she means? You think she means that mothers are there to give life, and then that person should be able to choose their own path, that type of thing?
You mean for Scully personally?
Mothers in general. What do you think Scully meant by saying that? Because I don't think she was necessarily...
I don't think she was talking about herself for once.
No.
Is what I think. I think that she is trying as hard as she can to believe in like the good in the world. Because she and Mulder said she was faced with all the hatred,
mm-hmm.
whereas he in his vision saw the love. You know?
Yeah.
And she didn't really see that, at least in this particular story.
Right.
And so I think she's saying that in order to just kind of convince herself, like, I don't believe that this is what's happening. Like, I really don't, in spite of what we've seen. So, I mean, that's all I think.
Hmm.
Why? What do you think?
Well, I feel like, well, okay, I guess the conversation gets to, what are we here for, basically? Like, what are we working towards as humans? Why are we here? And I guess the idea of Babel comes up, where the idea was we were working together, but we got too full of ourselves, basically.
Right.
And it's a valid fable. Whether you think it literally happened or not, whatever, but it's a valid idea that we shouldn't be too full of ourselves, basically,
right.
and try to get up there. But I do think that this kind of ties everything together with the first episode, meaning that I think there is possibly somebody out there, an alien race, that thinks we have.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
And
I think that that's
you're
what
comparing
I
comparing the aliens to God in this scenario.
Well, I think so. And the reason of the I definitely am. And the reason being is because, our thoughts are influenced on everything we, you know, listen to and take in. And I really have come to believe that a lot of the ancient stories and ancient Bible stories are based on visitations from other planets. That is very possible. I don't know if I would go out and say I
think it's more
this,
likely to be possible than not possible.
But I believe that that's where a lot of that imagery comes from. So I think that's where a lot of stories come from. And I think that's where I'm going to relate it to the specific Bible story that we're talking about here, the trumpets. And so I believe the trumpets are probably a noise that the aliens made when they would come into, like, whether their ships made that noise or whatever.
Interesting.
I believe that that's what that is. And so I believe that it's weird that we heard two kind of close. Now, we don't know what date this tape is from, but it is also weird to me a little bit that we hear two trumpets so close to each other. Now, you're saying that maybe Scully didn't hear this trumpet at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to watch it again, but I got the idea that maybe he just heard it. Did they both look up?
I don't
remember.
Know. I'd have to look back. But yeah. I thought it was very poignant how that Mulder hears this trumpet, it pulls out, and I believe that's the view from an invading spaceship. And I think that goes along the lines of a lot of, I mean, it's a well put out there. I mean, I'm not like talking out of turn. It's a well put out there hypothesis that a lot of the Bible stories might come from visitations if you believe in that.
Right.
And so I don't think it's too far fetched to believe that might be the route that they're taking here.
It would be an interesting route. I mean, I always assume that everything they're doing is metaphorical.
Right.
But I mean, in this sort of scenario, who knows?
Yeah, so. I understand that. I also think that, and I think it ties into the conspiracy of man type thing too, because I think maybe the aliens decided, okay, let's leave them alone. Let's let them do their thing. And then they see man doing this and almost trying to become a god by controlling everything. And they're like, no. This isn't going to happen. We're coming down. And they're not discriminate, so they're going to maybe wipe out everything. And that's what the apocalypse is, the aliens wiping everything out. So I'm kind of getting into my theory, but I do believe that this is kind of what that's setting up.
What they're indicating here.
I think so. I also love the imagery of pulling out. Of we have this close-up shot of Mulder and Scully. And they're living their lives as individuals. You know, they're doing their thing. They have their own problems. They have their own worries. They have their own thoughts and everything. But then we pull out and they're just this tiny speck on this entire planet. And the planet's obviously just a speck in the universe and everything like that. And I think that works in the only way they're going to get out of this is to work together. And I think that's where the story of Babel comes in. And I think when the idea of words, people, beliefs coming together as one and working towards a common goal can really accomplish amazing things. And it's weird. I mean, this is like, this is this plot of Independence Day, I guess, but nonetheless, it seems like that's the route they're going. Now, again, they could throw the curveball and aliens could not be a part of it and it could be all man, like they kind of said, but we'll see.
I think
that's what I
liked
got out of this.
That imagery of the pulling out was very Chris Carter. But I kind of, when I thought of just Mulder and Scully against the world, that's kind of what it made me think.
Oh,
of.
Wow. That's pretty stark.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. So what does that mean?
I don't know what it means. That's just what I thought of. Because it's like they're the only two that are, you know, cluing into this, what's going on. Or that will be, I think, next week.
It also made me think, because when, with the lyrics of the song and them working together, I think we're working up to the mother theme I don't think she was specifically talking about herself, but obviously this whole season seems to be working up to William. I mean, would you be disappointed if we don't see William in the last episode?
Are we talking about this now?
Well, it's just this one question. And
okay, well, that's probably like my entire thing.
Well, I just think yes, yeah, or no here.
I will be,
you
yes,
would be. Okay, so, I mean, you expect to see William in this last, yes, episode. So I guess that's what I'm working towards. And he is a kind of a culmination of Mulder and Scully, mm-hmm, kind of. So I feel like he is a key in some way, but I don't know exactly how. Okay. But I feel like he's some kind of key to this whole thing.
Well, that's obvious.
Well, I mean, yes, but I mean, in the...
Let me say, it should be obvious.
Yeah, but in what way? I don't know. I guess we could talk about that. It's coming up. So anything else about this episode?
Nope. Other than I think that they, again, you know, we haven't seen the last episode, but have made the right call in the airing order of these episodes.
Oh, totally. I can't imagine seeing these in a different order.
Yeah. I think that they did the right thing. So,
all right. So let's go ahead and rate this episode.
Okay.
We're going to use trumpets. 1 to 10 trumpets.
You go first.
I was originally going to give it a 9. I'm going down to 8 trumpets.
Interesting. So wait, in the course of this episode, or the course of us discussing, yeah, it went down 1?
Yeah, you brought up some things I didn't like that knocked it down a little bit. Namely, okay, I guess... there were a couple things you brought up that were kind of like polls that I just didn't like, and so it brought it down a little bit.
Well, you're gonna be interested by my rating.
What is it?
Well, mine was brought up a point,
oh,
by our conversation, but I'm still giving it a 5.
5, that's good.
A 5. It was a 4.
Yeah,
but it's a 5, and most of that 4 is just that last scene.
Yeah, I get that. I love the way I was entertained, and it made me think, and I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. It wasn't very X-Files-y, though, right? It was very not X-Files.
Yeah, it didn't feel quite right. Yeah.
But I'm okay
maybe
with that.
Maybe that overall is what bothered me about it. It just, I don't know. Again, and it's the second to last episode, and I just wanted more out of it. I wanted more. But we'll see.
All right. Well, I'm excited for this segment. Let's go to Wig Watch 2016. Where you talk about the fashion of the episode. And I have to assume this is going to center around the trippy scene.
Yeah, well, of course it will. I do think, first of all, I have to mention off the top that the wig is still looking good.
Okay.
Still looking good. But yeah, I have to talk about Mulder's cowboy hat and all of his Western wear and his, you know, brass knuckles that, what's it, they said mushroom?
Mushroom! I loved it!
Yeah, those were pretty amazing. I can totally see some, like, awesome Halloween costumes coming out of this.
Oh, wow. Not a bad idea.
Very obscure. And yeah, I loved, like, the Lone Gunman's cowboy outfits. They were all so, or at least the two of the Lone Gunman that I saw, were great, and Skinner's shirt was like a peach color, which I thought was pretty awesome. And then you know, not a whole lot of other fashion, although I did enjoy seeing Mulder shirtless. That was nice.
I can imagine. I look, you can't tell me you didn't want to be up there line dancing with Mulder.
Well, of course I did. I would be anywhere with Mulder. I'd be in the crazy alien dental chair next to Mulder. but yeah, I thought that
did you want to be there with the whip?
Maybe
your husband's, yeah, listening, you know, we'll talk later.
Yeah he is. He knows, though. Oh, he knows my feelings about David Duchovny. It's okay. He knew this when he married me. It's well aware.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say, too, just pointing out Einstein and Mellor, how they looked like identical to Mulder and Scully, which I thought was pretty funny.
It was. They did a good job.
Literally wearing the same outfits. Like, I think Mellor maybe had on a jacket and Mulder didn't. But it was totally something Mulder would wear, which I thought was Of course, intentional ones. Very funny. But yeah, other than that, I don't have too much to say about the fashion in this episode.
Well, that brings us then to the segment, which I think is going to basically usually just our weird and wacky conspiracies. But now that we're nearing the end, I assume this is just going to degrade into us wondering what's going to happen in the next episode. But this is Musings of a Podcast Host. Yeah, I guess mine would revolve around what role is William going to play in all this. And I really just, honestly, I think he's going to come across as the kind of peacekeeper. I feel like he's going to show up very much towards the end of the episode. I feel it's going to be a little bit not satisfying, but also once you... It's not going to be satisfying at first, but because we're going to spend so little time with him, I believe. But I believe in the end, when you ruminate on this episode, you're going to like it. It'll be kind of like the finale of Lost.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the way it was for me. It was kind of like, what?
Well, I always liked the ending of Lost.
But... I kind of did too. I was kind of, well,
you know, it took a couple viewings for me to fully appreciate it, but yes. I never had that knee jerk reaction that a lot of people had where I was like, that was awful.
And I don't think this is going to be that way. What I mean is, it's just going to be a little, it's going to be unsatisfying. It's not going to be like, ugh, but it's going to be unsatisfying, but then you're going to think about it, it's going to be good. I think, because I have faith in these guys. I think William's going to kind of show up at the end, be this kind of peacekeeper bridge between the aliens, humans. And that's going to kind of be his role. I don't think he's ever going to... I also think
he's
going to
be the Neo?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to give Dana what she needs, but not what she thinks she needs right now. I know that's kind of cryptic, but I think she thinks she needs to protect them. She thinks she needs a relationship with them. But in the end, I don't think that's what she's going to get from him. But I think she's going to be satisfied because she's going to be a happy mom. And but I think William will end up sacrificing himself.
Oh God! And
that's where I'm going with that.
You know, other than that last thing you just said, well, I don't know. You're quite the optimist, I must say.
Yeah? Okay, where are you going?
This is what's so funny, and even anyone who knew me back in my Television Without Pity days, where I was such a fan of the show and I met all my X-Files friends on, I was known on that as the eternal optimist, because I was the one that was always like, oh, it's going to be great. Oh, they're going to do it. It's going to be great. And I was always finding the good in everything.
Yeah.
Where I have to, like, honestly, like, I turned off the TV last night and I just had a really, really low, bad feeling. Like, I am saying right here, right now, and I hope that I'm wrong, that I'm going to be pissed, that I'm going to be disappointed, and that I'm going to hate it.
Wow.
I'm saying that right now. And this is actually probably good because I'm setting the bar extremely low. But this is why. Because the thing that I want to happen, I don't think will happen. And I know that that's like the trap everyone falls into, and that's why people hate movies and things. And I always go, well, you can't do that because it's the writer's decision. But when the writers have so brazenly brought us into this situation and made us think a certain way and then not given us something, that is when I'm allowed to be mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what are you saying?
I'm saying that A, we better see William in the flesh, actual William, and I want him to be reunited with Mulder and Scully.
But what you're
and
saying
I want
is-
them to have some kind of happy, peaceful reunion. And I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing is, like, I know people immediately could be like, well, that's just not the show. And I'm like, you know what? Make it the show. Make it the damn show, because I'm exhausted, you know?
Well, are you saying they'll go so as far as to not give us William?
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see any William. I would be pissed, but if we don't actually see William, I would be like, well, you know, that's par for the course. They just like to build us up and then give us nothing. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I would feel. And but I have a teeny sliver of hope just because of the way that this season has gone and how they have really pushed hard at William, and he's been more than a presence. He's been a, you know, heartbeat throughout this entire season. Like, he is the driving force behind their motivations, at least very, very obviously Scully's. But for them to then not give us some sort of resolution with him would be terrible storytelling, a bad service to the fans, especially after waiting 15 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like I said, they very, very easily could have just dropped the William thing completely, but they didn't. Because they did in the finale.
Yeah.
But they chose to bring him back in a, you know, in a very real and powerful big way, at least through our characters. So if we don't see him again, and poor Scully has to go through some more traumatic shit, I'm not going to be happy with that. That's where I'm at.
You know, it would be very interesting.
And Mulder and Scully have to end up together. That's my other thing. We have to get a kiss or something.
Yeah.
That's my other requirement.
It'd be very interesting if William is the one sounding the trumpets in some way.
You think that there's actual literal physical trumpets?
No, there's noise, though. There's noise. I don't know. I feel like it's possible, since we've heard two so close to each other. I think it's possible that there is a literal noise being made. Not necessarily a trumpet, but some kind of machine that's making a noise, and William's causing it.
When you say too close together, you mean the one at the beginning of the episode they were watching in the office?
Yeah, I feel like...
Because I don't remember them saying like a date of when that had happened. I'm assuming it was recent.
They didn't, and I'm assuming it's recent, too.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, it'd be interesting if William is more on the side of aliens because he doesn't like the way humanity has gone. And maybe this episode set us up for that, showing us some of the worst of humanity. And maybe William, being half and half, is more siding with the aliens that want to rescue some humans from this insanity that we're in. And that's the what do you call it? What is that thing where that people believe, where you're chosen and then brought up?
That's his calling?
No, that thing. You know that day where everybody just like disappears and goes up if you're chosen?
Oh, the rapture?
Rapture. So maybe the aliens will
you know, if they bring too much sort rapture of Christianity overtones into this, I'm going to be annoyed.
All right, well, I'm just saying. So maybe he's on the side of the aliens and he tries to save his parents, and maybe he's unsuccessful, or maybe he only saves one of them.
I hope they stay original. I don't want them to like do Bible shit. I don't want that.
Anyway, that'd be interesting. That's what I thought of. But being honest, what do you think are the percentages of seeing William in the last episode?
Oh, God.
Is it better than 50-50?
That's okay. I gotta say, of all of the things that I'm skeptical about in the finale,
yeah,
I'm very positive that we will see William.
Okay.
That we will actually see a physical, be it an image on a video of Scully seeing him, that he's okay, or that would piss me off, but something. Like, we will see his existence. Yeah. We will know he's alive. We will know where he's at, what he's doing, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that there's definitely more than a 50-50% chance of that, but
I think so too.
I hope that he's more of a presence. I hope he's an actual physical character, and that Mulder and Scully actually get to interact with him.
And that's what I mean. That's why I think you're not going to be satisfied by what they're going to do. I have a feeling you're not going to be satisfied, yet he's going to be in the episode. But you're not going to be satisfied right away. But I feel like when you rewatch the episode a couple of years from now, or even like the next week, you'll be like, all right, I like it.
I don't know. I don't know. I love this show so much, but I've given it so much of my time and like so much of my heart that it's like I can't, like I feel like a battered spouse.
Well, it's
like,
interesting. You want that, you know in your heart that the show's going to go on past this season, it seems, from past remarks that you've made, right? Yeah, you want this one to wrap up in a nice, neat bow.
I don't. I never, ever said that. I always just said I wanted William resolved.
You want That's
the
William?
The only thing that I've said.
No, you said you want Mulder and Scully to be together.
Okay, well, I do.
That's a nice little bow.
No, that's leaving out a lot. I mean, I know a lot of people like Charlie don't care about that. He probably doesn't care as much about William. He wants the whole alien mythology wrapped up.
Okay.
That's the part I don't care about.
Yeah.
As much, because I feel like that's the part that can continue on.
Gotcha.
You know, that's okay. The part that they can, you know, maybe kind of wrap up, but leave some ends dangling. I can forgive a lot. And so I want to believe that the show will be good and that they'll do what they didn't do last time. Man. But this is what's so frustrating to me, is that it seems to me so painfully easy to do this right that it pisses me right off that they can't fucking seem to do it. You know?
Do you care?
Time and time again. And so, well, that's what I'm worried about. And I honestly, you say you have faith in these guys. I don't trust. I don't like that Chris Carter's writing the next episode. That scares the shit out of me. I am really, really worried that he's going to fuck it up. And I will gladly sit here and eat my words next week. Gladly. But that's amazing. I'm just telling you my honest opinion. I'm worried. Color me officially worried.
Done. Okay. X-Files Diaries. We're all over the place. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You could tweet with us live during the finale. Charlie will be tweeting live here on the East Coast. Annie will be tweeting live on the West Coast. If you want to talk about what's going on.
And I'm sure there will be cursing.
Okay, we have an R-rated Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
Just so everybody knows. We have, of course, if you subscribe on iTunes, please go ahead and leave a comment, leave a little recommendation for other people to check us out. And that we've been talking recently and what we're going to do after the finale. We intend to be back in some form or another. And we're going to have some fun. We're tossing around some different ideas. And if you guys have any ideas, you can, of course, reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know. Because if you guys are out there, you guys are listening, you guys want to hear more of us and interact and have some fun, even while the X-Files wrap up this season 10, we'll be happy to oblige. We have some cool ideas too.
We want to know what you guys want to hear. And you know, especially since, you know, X-Files hasn't put out a new episode in like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, we don't, you know, we've tossed around ideas. We don't want to just come back and like, we just don't want to go review past episodes,
right?
Case by case. We want to have some kind of cool theme to it. And so we're thinking about some things to do. So just let us know what you guys like. So hopefully Charlie will be recovered for next week's finale and will be back with us. I assume he will be. And but that will do it for this edition of the X-Files Diaries. But remember, everyone, you may say I'm a believer, but I'm not the only one.
Did he ever text you back?
We'll do that in the funny scenes here at the end. Let's see what Let's see what Charlie gave us.
Okay. Did he sent you a text?
Text
Charlie's rating. Oh, wait. Can I guess?
Yes.
Do you want to play this game before you look?
Yes. Let's play this game while Charlie's not here.
You didn't look yet?
No, I didn't look.
Okay. We're guessing Charlie's rating.
All right.
How many trumpets he gave it? Okay. You might have a leg up on me because you probably talked to him. Or,
well, I know he was very negative in his mind about it. I don't know how negative, but he we had an argument.
I'm gonna say that he gave it a 4. What are you gonna say?
I'm gonna say that he totally tanked this episode. I'm gonna say that just to be fun. I'm gonna say he totally went down to like a 2.
Okay, wow. Okay.
I'm going to say he just went like that. Do you have any, like, all right, well, let's see what he gave. Like, do you have any, like, comments that you think he would have made during the show? Do you want to pretend you're Charlie for a second and give me, like, a 30-second summary?
He probably would have complained about the fact that it wasn't a real X-File.
Okay, yep.
He probably would have complained about the incredulity of Mulder's plan.
Right.
He probably would have complained about Miller and Einstein being just rehashes of Mulder and Scully.
Yes, that would not have been fun.
And the fact that all Mulder really did was communicate to this guy with mushrooms, which, have we seen this before? It's probably something we've seen before in terms of communicating with someone who was in a coma. Something we've probably seen before on the X-Files. And he would say, why didn't they think of something new? It's the last episode.
It's probably true. Okay. And he would have yelled at me for talking about Muslims. I know he would have.
Why?
Because that's just the way he is. he's an artsy liberal.
Well, I'm a liberal.
Yeah, you're a fun here. Liberal.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Charlie gave it a 7 with a question mark.
What? How is that possible?
I have no clue.
Okay, wait. He didn't have any explanation for that?
No, it's 7 question mark, and then I'm going to bed.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe he gave it a 7. We argued. We sat there. After we recorded Flash Diaries, we sat there and we argued about it. Like, I was saying how much meaning it had, and he was blowing me off, basically, kind of some of the stuff you're doing. He was like, well, he said it was stereotypical, it was unneeded, it had all this stuff in it that it didn't need. He was talking about how it was like a worthless episode. And
wow, a 7 is well above average.
7 is pretty good. Like,
you should tell him that mine was lower than his.
He, like, a 7
surprised,
means
surprised.
A 7 means you enjoyed the episode, you just had some problems with it.
Yeah. I mean, heck, he gave freaking Weremonster, what, an 8?
I think so.
8.5? That's crazy.
But this was a 7 question mark. I don't know what to say with the question mark.
I'm going to say this is the NyQuil talking or whatever he's on.
Perhaps.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, this was fun.
Super fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again next week.
No, now.
Do what again?
Just kidding.
Oh.